Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's crack a drink and get the ball rolling, Mini. Yikes, not sure how I feel about this. So, once again, tonight we went with something very similar to what we did last week. We're actually doing Beckett's 27 non-alcoholic spirit cinnamon whiskey again, but we're trying it in a different mixed drink and kind of a mixed drink thing. And I gotta say, I thought I was either going to like it or not like it for a different reason than I don't really like it. So, my wife has been on a Crystal Light kick lately. So we get these, you know, little, what are they like, these packets that make like 2 quarts of it, and we just make them at a time. So I don't know if it's the fact that it's not like pre-made stuff and it's like homemade, we're making it ourselves kind of a thing. But we currently, I wanted to do it with just straight lemonade, but we got the strawberry, orange, banana. So I figured I either wasn't going to like it because there was just between the cinnamon, the strawberry, the orange, the banana, there was just going to be too much going on. And I gotta say, it tastes like just a slightly watered down Beckett's cinnamon whiskey. And if I'm just gonna drink the cinnamon whiskey, I'd rather not waste, you know, the Crystal Light and just drink it straight. So not a huge fan of it. I have a feeling after this realization something maybe a little more thicker, like actual like lemonade, you know, bottled lemonade or something like that, or even a Sprite would probably be better. So maybe we'll try that. Maybe not on the next podcast. I don't want to bore you guys with too much of the same stuff here. But I'll have to try that and get back to you guys with what I think about that. But yeah, once again, Beckett's, for those that maybe didn't listen last weekend, Beckett's 27 non-alcoholic spirits. It's a cinnamon whiskey that we went with this time, just like we did last week. And the reason I did this, it says on the bottle, it says, you know, enjoy straight up on ice or as a fiery cinnamon twist in ginger beer, tea, coffee, lemonade juice. Ooh, I might actually try this in my coffee one of these days, actually. Juice like this or your favorite soda. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, it's not, again, it's not terrible. It's just mixing it with this Crystal Light, there's not a ton of flavor to make me think, well, if I'm going to be, you know, oh, this is good. Like, if I'm just going to be getting straight cinnamon whiskey, I'd rather just drink it straight. Like, why not? Or like with a rock or something like that. So, this concoction, not my favorite. I gotta say, this might be, I might have to check back in with you guys on this one. We might have to go back and check, but, but this might be like the first mixed drink that I actually mixed, that we've done on the podcast. And geez, it's a bit of a doozy, like I said. So, yeah, we're gonna go, gosh, I wanna say last week I gave just this like a 9. Or a 9.1 or something like that. If you have strawberry, orange, banana, Crystal Light, and you want to try it out, go for it. Don't recommend it. I mean, oh my gosh. It seems crazy that I'm thinking this low, but I'm going to go this low because I don't know when the next time is. And I gotta, because like I said, something like this, if I'm just going to taste what I'm, the non-alcoholic great cinnamon whiskey stuff, I might as well just drink that straight. So I'm gonna go 3-4. Like I said, it's, I anticipated not liking it because there was gonna be too much going on, and there's nothing going on. So that is what we have for you guys today. Once again, Beckett's 27 non-alcoholic stuff. They have a couple different spirits, and you can find them all over the Total Wines in the great state of Minnesota. So moving right along, we actually have some news for you guys this week. So just what was it, just yesterday, the 28th, the St. Thomas men's hockey team released its 2023-2024 schedule, which is pretty exciting. The 23-24 schedule is filled to the brim with excitement that features the 17-game home slate that includes contests against nationally ranked St. Cloud State, as well as the CCHA rivals Minnesota State and Michigan Tech. Rico Blasi had this following quote to say about this upcoming year and schedule. It's a tough non-conference schedule, but one that will continue to help us build and understand what we need to become a top program in the nation. We are very appreciative of the opportunity and look forward to these games. There is no doubt our first two series will be special with two NCAA powers and in-state opponents. So with that, one of these two NCAA powers is none other than the 2022-2023 national runner-up in the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers, whom the Tommies will play in a home-and-home series on October 13th and 14th. Tickets for the Game 1 at the Xcel Energy Center will go on sale August 16th, and after battling it out at the X, the two sides will head across the river to complete the two-game series on October 14th at Mariucci. The season actually will be kicking off with a home-and-home series against the Huskies of St. Cloud State on October 7th and 8th. The Huskies will host the first game of the season before the Tommies take their home opener on the 8th against St. Cloud State. In total, the 2023-2024 schedule will consist of 34 games and two non-conference exhibition games against Minnesota Duluth in Mendota Heights and the USA National Development Team in Plymouth, Michigan. The Tommies will also host Lindenwood in their first non-conference series before the start of conference play, and then will travel to the University of Vermont and Augustana in South Dakota to round out the non-conference schedule. Blasi and St. Thomas will open CCHA play with games at Bemidji State on October 27th and 28th, and then will return home for their conference home opener series against Northern Michigan on November 3rd and 4th. The Tommies will play four games each against six of their seven CCHA opponents and play only two games on home ice against Lake Superior State on November 24th and 25th. Their two series against Minnesota State will be completed in home-and-home fashion. The first one will be in early December, the 8th and 9th, and then early in February, the 2nd and 3rd. The Purple, who finished the 2022-2023 season strong, closing the regular season with a 9-9-2 record over their final 20 games. The team grabbed at least 1 point in their final 9 CCHA series and defeated every opponent in the highly competitive conference at least once last year, which is pretty amazing. The team returned 16 players from this last roster and also welcomes 13 new faces to year 3 of the journey. And lastly, the St. Thomas men's hockey season tickets can now be purchased online with packages starting at $180. Packages will also include an early pre-sale for the Friday, October 13th games at the Xcel Energy Center and will guarantee individuals access to seats at the Lee and Penny Anderson Arena in 2025. So go check out TommySports.com for more information on that. And with that, that is what we have today for the Tommy Town. The local business shout-out we have this week actually comes from a place that it's been a while since I've eaten at. But I've had some people reach out to me, and apparently it's been so long that I've eaten here that they've like completely redone the place, and they're doing so much. So without further ado, it's Moe's American Grill. So more Moe's American Grill, can be found, on Mounds View Boulevard in Mounds View, Minnesota, right off of County Road H2 and Highway 10 there. in Mountain View. Really cool location, and honestly, even better food. They got catering. They have, in the winter, where it's pretty winter here, they got they got a lot of cool stuff in the American Grill, and then they also have Moe's Ice House, which is pretty cool. I've actually been to that one or sooner than Moe's American Grill, but go check them out if you've been there. Let me know what I should be getting next time, and if you haven't, hit me up and we can go frequent it soon. So with that, we will dive into our professional sports here. Obviously, a good amount to talk about, as both the NHL and the two 2023 NHL and NBA drafts took place this last week, with the 2023 NBA draft taking place on, what was it? I believe it was the night of the last podcast, the 22nd, which was essentially both the NHL and the NBA drafts were very similar this year, as it was essentially the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes and the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, or as I like to call it, the NHL rigging for the Blackhawks to be good again sweepstakes. No, but in all seriousness, both the Blackhawks and the San Antonio Spurs, I don't think will be very good this year, but at least with these players they were able to draft first overall, they'll be interesting and fun to watch. I can't remember exact numbers, but I know just after, you know, the two picks, season tickets for the San Antonio Spurs and Chicago Blackhawks just skyrocketed. I actually had somebody ask me, believe it or not, they asked for the NHL draft. They said, and I didn't really even realize this because I didn't follow either of them that closely. I kind of looked at it more after the fact. But someone asked me, they were curious. They said, Jack, were you more surprised by the Blackhawks taking Connor Bedard, or more surprised Adam Fantilli fell to 3 instead of 2? And I didn't even realize that. Everything I read, Adam Fantilli was destined to be number 2. I think it's kind of a win-win. Like, obviously, I think, you know, NHL is a little bit different. You know, I think Adam Fantilli would have loved to have been in Anaheim over Columbus, just with, you know, Columbus is just, you know, the weather's not as nice as Anaheim and this and that and the other thing. But sorry, before I go down this rabbit hole, I was more surprised Adam Fantilli fell down than Connor Bedard was taken. Obviously, the Blackhawks were being weird before the draft, making him take all this stuff, and people were saying, you know, just don't take him if you're going to make him do all this stuff, like Anaheim or Columbus would love to take him. But yes, I was by and far more surprised that Fantilli fell down. But the fact of the matter is, Leo Carlson, who's a Swede, you know, fun fact, looking at it right now, the first 4 players were centers that were taken. And, to my knowledge, I think Adam Fantilli, I think he's ready to make that jump from college hockey to the NHL. And truthfully, I think this is, you know, it's, you know, yeah, he's not going to be in Southern California, but I think this could end up being good for him to start his NHL career sooner, if that's what he would like to do. Looking at the Anaheim Ducks roster and their prospect pool, they have so many centers, to the point where, despite how good Adam Fantilli is, the Ducks may have needed to have a conversation with them, with just as far as, hey, like, if you're wanting to, you know, make it, are you willing to be, like, do you want to be a winger, this and that? Whereas Columbus, they're still, they're kind of retooling, kind of not, but they need some centers, and he could easily squeak in there as, you know, a fourth, third line, you know, even second line, depending on how training camp and preseason goes. So I think, honestly, it's, you know, it's a win-win. I think, yes, Josh was the one who asked the question. he didn't say he wanted to remain anonymous. But I think it goes without saying, even though it was the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, I think for months on end, everybody had this tabbed as Bedard going number one, Fantilli going number two. It was just a matter of who was actually going to get number one, who was actually going to get number two. So it was surprising to see Fantilli not go number two, but it could end up benefiting him in the long haul if he's wanting to start his career sooner than usual. So, yeah, you know, somebody else asked me how I overall, felt about the Minnesota draft, like how they did. And truthfully, I struggle. There's not really any, there's not really a ton of sports that I really follow too much of prospects and that kind of stuff, just because, you know, as fun as it is to watch, it's just, it really is a lot of work, it really just is a lot of work to look into, you know, college hockey players, you know, college football players, all this kind of guy, all those kinds of things. But, you know, reading up on what I've seen, I think they did pretty well. You know, I think, you know, they're getting a little more heat than they maybe should. You know, a lot of people think that part of the big reason we took this Charlie Strommel is because we wanted, you know, to keep a Minnesota guy here. But, you know, he's not perfect by any means. I think he's going to play and help an NHL team down the middle. You know, I just think maybe we reached for this guy a little bit from what it sounds like. A lot of people are giving us a C+ for this pick. You know, it, and then you gotta go all the way to the 51st pick, to when we took Rasmus, Kumpalainen, the second center, 6'3", 190 pounds. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I don't really know what we need, just in terms of, I don't know who is, you know, who we're trying to re-sign, what we're trying to do. I do know we are in need of a true center. So, you know, maybe the hope is between Rasmus and Charlie. Charlie? You know, maybe the hope is between the two of them that they'll be able to step into a role where they can be a true center. Because, I mean, looking at our Wild roster, I don't think we have a ton of good solid centers on our team. I'd have to double check. Let me pull up our. We have. Joel Eriksson-Ek is the only one that comes to mind. Goudreau is solid. I guess Nyquist is listed as a center. Mason Shaw, Sam Steele, Oscar Sundqvist. So, I mean, we have a couple, but if my memory serves me right, Sam Steele, Mason Shaw, like, I'm trying to, like, other than Freddie and Joel Eriksson-Ek, I don't think we used some of these guys as true centermen, so it'd be nice to have a solid 1-2-3, if nothing else, 1-2-3 solid centermen, because the bottom line is a big part, and we saw this last year getting beat up by Dallas. It's a playoff dot, you know, or the playoff dot, the face-off dot. If you, like, you got to win those battles to give yourself a chance, especially in the offensive zone, to jumpstart those, those power plays in the offensive zone. So, you know, hopefully those guys can jump into roles like that. And honestly, that's what, those are the guys that were on our roster, I guess, this last year. I don't know how many of those guys are coming back, truthfully. But yeah, so the last thing we have to touch on the Wild before we get going is the Minnesota Wild this last week also announced their schedules. So the schedule is actually going to kick off on October 10th with a triple header on ESPN. The fun's going to be starting at 5:30, it sounds like, with the new look Nashville Predators visiting the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think that's the only of the three games I'm not looking forward to. The second game's that going to feature the number one overall pick, Connor Bedard's Chicago Blackhawks. Traveling to Pittsburgh to play previous generational talent, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. And then comes the celebration at 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Vegas Golden Knights will host their banner against the visiting Seattle Kraken. So that'll be a fun game of both teams that made a deep playoff runs this last... playoffs. Sorry, I'm having an issue with words tonight for some reason. So, yeah, with that, so, like I said, the season's going to be kicking off on October 10th. For the Wild, their season is going to be kicking off a couple nights later. Over a week later, I might add, they will be playing on Saturday... Wait, is this right? What the heck? They'll be playing, I believe it's... Oh, nope. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. They're playing the Florida Panthers opening night October 12th, just two nights later. And then their first away game will be their second game of the season. They'll be on a quick two Canadian team trip. On October 14th, they will go to Toronto. Then they'll be in Montreal October 17th. Our first look at the team that kicked us out of the playoffs, the Dallas Stars, will be a home matchup on Sunday, November 12th. It looks like... And then it looks like we will wrap up the season... with the game against the Seattle Kraken after being on the road for five straight games on April 18th. And we're going to be kind of, looks like our longest homestand is going to be close to the end of the season between March 23rd against St. Louis, San Jose, Vegas, Ottawa, Colorado, and Winnipeg, ending on April 6th. So, yeah, lots of good things to... lots of good things to look forward to on here. I want to pull this up. The Wild's contract situation. So, because I don't think we have that many guys coming back next year. So I think part of the issue is going to be trying to sign free agents and rookies for this upcoming season. So. Let us have a quick peek-see. Actually, it looks like we're having a lot of guys come back. Kirill's coming back. All these guys are under contract for this upcoming season. Kirill, Boldy, Zuccarello, Eriksson-Ek, Foligno, Goudreau, Johansson, Hartman, and Dewar. Duhaime is unfortunately a restricted free agent. We obviously have Spurgeon, Brodin, Middleton, Goligoski, and Merrill coming back. Kalen Addison's a restricted free agent. And then the only goalie we have coming back is Marc-Andre Fleury, but rumor has it we're trying to get together something for a contract to keep Philip Gustafson. And then other guys I'm trying to see here. Marco Rossi is under contract for this upcoming season. I'm trying to look at other guys from our forward, that like non-rostered guys that are under Walker. Sammy Walker is under contract. Sam Henches, Brock Faber is, Carson Lambos, Ryan O'Rourke. So, you know, we have some guys coming back. You know, I think what I mentioned, I think we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 forwards from the roster, 5 defensemen, and a goalie. So, you know, a little bit of, you know, having to get some things taken care of and put in place. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, to say the least. It'll be interesting, and it'll be a fun year nonetheless. It'll be a really fun year. So now on to the NBA draft. So not only with this NBA draft, was it the Victor Wembanyama? I believe that's how you pronounce his name. There's been a lot of trades and things going on. We saw, we're seeing a lot of transactions going on. We saw Bradley Beal get traded. We got guys, trying to that are possibly going to be dealt after the draft, things like that. You know, Brandon Miller went to the Hornets, a team that the that MJ is trying to get out of. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens in the coming months. Excuse me, for the NBA, what I can say is it's probably not going to be long until we have schedules coming out for the NBA. The only reason I say that is because the NHL typically only starts, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 weeks before the NBA does, and the NHL just released their stuff, so I'm willing to bet we have, you know, a month max before we get to see, you know, what's going to happen opening night, what's going to happen Christmas, and all that fun stuff. You know, a lot of people, I didn't really get any concrete answers or concrete questions, but a lot of people have been asking me about Karl Anthony Towns. Some people have been kind of asking me, hey, you know, even though we just traded for Gobert, like, who should we really be trading? It seems like, you know, Cat plays better with Ant than Gobert. And truthfully, I hate to say it, but I think Karl Anthony Towns has a little bit of an ego problem right now. And I think part of that comes from the fact that he was the guy for us for so long. And now we got a new young buck on this team. As far as I'm concerned, I've said it once and I will say it again. The only two guys, I'm so glad, by the way, we re-signed Naz Reid. But as far as I'm concerned, there are two guys on our roster that are untradeable. Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards. As far as I'm concerned, I am okay with anybody getting moved. Now, there have also been rumors that the as good and as talented as they are personality-wise, Jason Tatum just isn't working out. So there's been some rumblings that we could be sending Kat to Boston to get Jaylen Brown in return. I wouldn't hate it. I think between him and Ant, they play about the same position, so you'd be asking one of them to play a position they're probably just a little less comfortable playing. And plus, I think it's just me, not necessarily. Ant is a dog. Like, this guy barely, he put up amazing numbers this last year, and he barely made the NBA All-Star team. I think, you know, it's just a matter, and he just gets so disrespected. This guy is, he is just a dog. He's setting records. He's getting his name etched up in there with KD, with Kobe, with LeBron, with quickest guy to, you know, this point mark, that point mark, all that stuff. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, he is our guy. We should be building around him. Now, I'm not, how do I say this? I'm not over the mountain about Gobert, but I think we just got Gobert. I think you get him and Ant in this, what's going to work, because it, obviously what we were trying to do last year just wasn't working. So we got to figure out what's going to work between those two. But I think one thing's for sure, you got to move Cat before the season starts. The sooner the better, because you want that cohesiveness. You know, we're obviously bringing back some guys. You obviously got to get Ant and Jaden signed and back on the roster for years to come. But you got to be building around Ant, as far as I'm concerned. Cat, like, I got nothing but love for him. It's probably very much going to be very similar to the Wiggins situation, where he's going to get even better with his next team. But he's got to go. He's just got to go. It's that simple. So I'm going to say it here. I've been saying, you know, maybe for a couple weeks now, that he needs to get traded before the season starts. And I think it's going to happen. I really do. I think the next upcoming opening night, Karl Anthony Towns is putting on a jersey that is not the Minnesota Timberwolves jersey. You heard it here first. I just don't know who it's going to be for yet. And hopefully we're able to replenish, like, hopefully we can get a guy or something of a guy, excuse me, and some draft picks. We gave up way too many draft picks for the amount of guys we gave up to get up Rudy Gobert. That's what I think there. I look at this draft lastly before we move on. Victor Wembanyama, as far as I'm concerned, is in a class of his own in this draft class. But I look at guys like Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson. Both those guys are going to, I think, will be right up there with Victor this entire year for Rookie of the Year. Amen and Asur are probably going to do good things too. I think Detroit's got to be on the rise and Houston's got to be on the rise. Both of them have been in the top three, if not five, for draft picks the last 3 or 4 years. So they've got some promising talent. It's just a matter of figuring out what works for them and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's what I got for the NBA tonight. excuse me. And lastly, before we wrap up for the night, I promise you guys we're going to have more NFL content next week after the 4th. But again, as much as I love the NFL, as much as I love the Vikings, we're kind of in a weird holding pattern now where, you know, there's OTAs going on, all kind of that fun stuff. Training camps haven't officially started yet as we're wrapping up June here. But still super excited. You know, unfortunately, these last couple of days we're seeing guys getting suspended for gambling and all that stuff, and we're not gonna, you know, get too far down that. But one of the things I did want to address in this is Maddie wanted to know, Jack, who do you have winning the NFC North? A lot of people are already sold on the Lions. What is your take? And you know, Maddie, you bring up a great point. You know, I don't think you can discount the Lions. You look at this team, you know, and you know, you look up and down their roster, and you think about what they were able to do last year. I think, you know, Jared Goff, you know, they beefed up that offensive line, and I think being able to keep him comfortable in the pocket next year compared to this last year will do wonderful. I mean, you got Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, you know, combining for, you know, what's that, 1,600 rushing yards and 7 TDs. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown, DJ Chark coming back, you know, and then you're able to go into the draft and get a running back in Jahmyr Gibbs, tight end in Sam LaPorta, you know, get Brian Branch, you know, get some guys on the defensive side, and so the offensive side. So it's easy to look at this team and think, man, you know, they got Aiden Hutchinson, you know, they got a lot of players, you know, they're going to take that next step. And as much as I don't want to discount the Lions, because this is a team that has been, got, like, this franchise has probably been through more heartbreak than the Vikings, just from the standpoint of, I don't think they ever won a division, even with Kelvin Johnson teams and with Deion Sanders teams, so that's gotta hurt. But you also have to take into consideration the Vikings. You know, are we losing some big names? Yeah, you know, we are. You know, Za'Darius Smith isn't coming back, but he's old. You know, he did okay. A lot of people are like, oh, he did so good for his last year. He did okay. You know, he didn't do amazing, but he had some, you know, he did some good things. Oh my gosh, Eric Kendrick's gone. Oh my gosh, you know, Dalvin Cook's gone. And the fact of the matter is, as much as I would love to have these guys back, as much as, you know, there's a lot of things going on in terms of Danielle Hunter and all those kinds of things, you kind of have to look at what have they done for you lately, because as good as Danielle Hunter is, ever since he's had these issues with his back, what was it, 2-3 seasons ago, he just hasn't been his usual self that we're used to seeing. But you have to remember, the Vikings still have arguably the best receiver in the game, in Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen's not here, but again, he's older. You know, by Dalvin Cook standards and running back standards, he's, you know, old for that. TJ Hockenson's a dog. We're definitely going to re-sign him. KJ Osborne's an upcoming stun. And then you even look at, in OTAs, people are writhing over, or not writhing, that's not the right word, you know, salivating at Jalen Naylor. Madison is a dog. I mean, you look at Alexander Madison, and yeah, you know, he didn't play, you know, a ton of this last year. 283 yards. He rushed for 5 TDs, a lot of people don't realize. But you go back to the 2021 regular season when Dalvin was out for a little bit. That was 2 seasons ago. 2020. Madison, no. I can't remember what season it was for. But Madison has done some, he's definitely shown us glimpses that it is possible for him to be, like, he can be a running back one. We've seen, you know, Kane Nwangu, Ty Chandler, excuse me, that running back room is going to be fun to watch. So I gotta put my money on the Vikes, if I'm being honest with you guys. You know, Sean and Booth Jr. were both down last year, and you just, if we can get a full year out of them with some of these guys we got coming back, especially at the defensive end, and I don't even think we need that much change on the defensive side. The fact that we have a better defensive coordinator is going to make the world of a change for us. So that is what I have for you guys. So I will leave you with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a question or a topic you want me to address or answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's miniweekend@gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, you make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Till next time, Mini.